And I was thinking, it's so incredible how we can hear a word and immediately the Holy Spirit starts working in our hearts to work that out. Like, we don't have to, like, you know, do 10 steps to become better. Like, the word is released, we made aware of it, and the Holy Spirit starts, like, stirring us to live according to it, right? And I think everyone can attest to how, like, maybe the Holy Spirit's shown us things where we've been disappointed, things where our expectations have been out of line, or maybe we just haven't communicated what we're expecting from the people around us, and how he's working in that. To finish strong has started strong. Amen. It's so good, and I'm very privileged to be able to continue this series. And who was here for Fast 24 last year? Come on. Who, like, Fast 24 was incredible. I was living with Santa Shea and Clarissa, and every night that week, we, like, had these big papers and pens, and we were worshiping, and we'd, like, written down all these things of, like, okay, we're going to see God in our finances, in our friendships, in ministry, and, like, all these different aspects of our lives, and we're like, hey, God, what are you saying for this? And we'd sit in the lounge for, like, hours. Like, Clarissa would be, like, on her face in the floor, and then she'd be up, like, scribbling, and then, like, seeking, and then scribbling, and you know, I put it up, and then the beginning of the year, we made vision boards, and I kind of took all those words that I'd written down, and I put it on a vision board. And it's so cool to see how, in seeking God, and then just being like, okay, I'm going to focus on what he said in that week of, like, what he wants to do this year, and just, like, literally just focus on that, and how I can look back, and I'm looking at the vision board, and seeing how he's done those things, you know? Like, I think of things in my family, in friendships, just desires I had in my heart, like, to go to America, to a conference, and I can tick off, like, where 90% of the things I've put on my vision board, God has come through, and he's done that. And I think it's only true because I sought him first. I think I could very easily make a vision board of goals that I want to do and things that I think will be cool, but then I have to do it in my own strength to get there. But when we seek God, then we don't really have to work as hard because we just put our trust in him and steward what he's given us, and then he'll do the rest. So I'm excited for Fast 25. I'm really, really excited. So I would, if you need people to worship with and pray with, you're welcome to come to our house. Sister Shay and I will make space for you. Clarissa, you can come back for the week. We'll have you, no problem. But yeah, I'm excited. I put my word of the year was expectations. I put it there like big, you know. I was like, expectation. That's a word for the year. It's not like something scary, like expectation. I put my scripture there. It was just 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8. And I was like, read it every now and then and be like, okay, I've got this. I've got this. And the scripture says, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. So I'd read that and I'd be like, it's a word. Like, come on, 2024, let's go, let's go. And I know that there's still 2 months left, so I know everything on that board will come to pass. Amen. And there were a bunch of things on there and some things that I wanted to grow in. And one of those things was stewardship. So I'm a pictures person, so I went on Pinterest and I was like, okay, you know, putting things together on the board, and then I put like a picture of a person running on a track, you know, like, because, you know, we're running a race, like with guards. I was like, oh, that's clever. Put a picture there, and then I wrote, be a good steward, and then I put points, like, of my time, my heart, my soul, my mind, my gifts, and my finances. And I was like, yeah, that's something I want to focus on this year. I want to be a good steward. Because if I'm being honest, 2023 was a rough year for me. You can ask Amber or Josh or Pastor TJ and Pastor Nats. Like, it just wasn't a good year. I think it was more like a crushing, you know. Like, it was an important year. I grew a lot out of it. But it was just a tough year. And maybe you were saying, like, yeah, it's 2024. It's been a tough year so far. But out of that, I realized that a big thing in my life that I wasn't paying attention to was being a good steward. And if I look back in my life, I think maybe it's something that I just never really paid attention to, never actively stewarding things in my life. And if I'm being honest, probably not finishing things. I wasn't that kid that was, like, really good at one specific thing. Like, we all know that one kid that's, like, just, like, a brilliant swimmer, or, like, academically, they're just so gifted. I was never that kid that was, like, really good at one thing. I was just between average and good at many things. So I wasn't, like, excelling, like, I could do it. I could do it enough that I'd, like, make the team, but, like, be on the bench slash in the team. You know what I mean? Like, I was, like, the second call, but I was in everything. So I was there for everything, but I wasn't, like, the, oh, that's the guy you want to call if you need to get something done. And I think, like, just never really committing 100% to things, always looking for the next thing. All I have to do is look at my after-school activities. Like, I don't know, parents, you know, when your kids need to choose a thing, and you're like, just choose one thing. I was not that kid. I was doing dancing. Then I was like, I don't want to dance anymore. I want to go do swimming. Then my brother was doing karate. And I was like, I also want to do karate because if my brother can do it, I can do it. And I was like, actually, you know, I don't really like karate. I want to go back to swimming and dancing. And then I was like, you know, I need to get better at my maths because my dad's an accountant. Like, I can't be bad at maths if my dad's an accountant. So I did extra maths classes. That faded very quickly. And then I went back to hockey, then swimming, then water polo, then back to swimming, then back to hockey. And the list goes on of how I just chopped and changed through things, never actually finishing anything. Like, I would do dancing, and I'd do like kind of well in nice Stedford, and then I'd be like, nah, I'm going to change. And then I'd do karate, and I got to brown belt, which is pretty good, but you're not finishing because you're not getting black belt. And I was like, nah, next thing. Like, so I just like almost made it, but not quite, you know. Always looking for the next thing because, oh, my friend was doing that and that looks like so much fun. Like, it's not as much work, you know, because now I'm in a point where I have to work at this to get good. And then I would just switch. And I was thinking about this week, preparing this message, and I was like, man, actually, like, there's a reason God showed me I need to be a good steward, because through my life, I haven't really been stewarding things well. Like, I haven't been bad, but I haven't been intentional, and I haven't been finishing the things that I said I would do. And there's a scripture that often pops into my mind, and it's Colossians 3, verse 23. It says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. And just a side note, if you want to grow, pay attention to where your mind wanders to, because it's a good indication of what's happening in your heart. If Jesus is full of your heart, like, your mind will often wander to the word, or like a worship song will pop into your head. And I can very quickly tell when my heart's not right with God, because like other songs will pop into my head, or I'll wander on like random things that actually have no meaning. So just a side note, I'm going to get back to what I was saying. But whatever you do, do it unto the Lord, is how another translation puts it. And that's pretty weighty. You know, if someone's like, whatever you do, do it unto the Lord. And you can picture like this guy like preaching. He's like spitting while he's preaching. He's like, do it unto the Lord. But it's weighty. And if I like pause on it and think about it, it's like, whew, okay, that's like it's a big thing. And I'm an internal processor, which drives my roommates into Shay insane, because she is an external processor, capital E. So if you see me looking angry or distracted, like when I'm just processing, like there's a whole conversation happening in my head, and then Cynthia Shea will be like, are you okay? Did I do something wrong? And I'll be like, huh? Because in here we're having a whole dialogue about something. And what I do is I often like, I'll like think of something and then I'll ask myself a question about what I think about. And I think, you know, I'm not crazy yet, because it's not like I'm having the conversation with myself out loud. But, you know, the Lord works, so it's okay. But I was thinking about this, and I asked myself a question. I was like, but why? Like, why everything? And I think, like, the Word of God is very specific. And He uses specific words, like, intentionally. He's not just putting stuff in there just to fill space in a book, you know? But why everything? And then I read in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 14, it says, everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. James 1, verse 17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like a shifting shadow. So my conclusion from that is that, well, everything we have is from Him. So if everything we have is from Him, then everything we do should be for Him, you know? Whatever you do, do it unto the Lord. To me, that sounds like stewardship. And I was thinking about stewardship, like, you know, it's on my vision board, so I see the word all the time, and I was like, okay, it's like one of those Christian words that we throw around, but I've never actually looked at, like, what does it actually mean? Like, stewardship. Like, what does the Bible say stewardship means? And a biblical view of stewardship is utilizing and managing all resources God provides for the glory of God and the betterment of His creation. And I was like, well, there's not much about me in there. You know, like, I can steward things, but it's not really, like, to make me better and so that I'll look good and that I can gain things. And sure, maybe some of those things will come through being a good steward, but it says to provide Him glory and for the betterment of His creation and His people. Whatever you do with whatever you have, do it unto the Lord. That's what it means to be a good steward. And a big part of finishing strong is stewarding what God has put in our hands in this season of our lives. Like me as a young kid, always looking for the next thing, we're often so focused on what God's saying for what's next that we're not actually stewarding and working the season that we're in, you know? We're like, oh, the grass is greener. Like, you know, when God calls me to go, like, to another country, then I'll read my Bible and I'll be super disciplined. And we always think that when the call comes, then all of a sudden our lives are going to align and we're going to walk in obedience. But I think being a good steward means with whatever God's entrusted me now, I'm going to steward that like it's everything and like it's the only thing I'm ever going to do so that I can prove that I'm trustworthy enough to be trusted with the big things. And what if the thing we have right now is the only thing we get? Like, we can't always be looking for the next thing and then we do nothing with what we have now. And I promise I'm not speaking to you from a place of getting this right all the time. I'm a work in progress, but this is something I'm just trying to grow in and something I really felt to share on in this Finish Strong series. There's a portion of scripture I want us to dig into today that emphasizes the importance of being a good steward. It's Matthew 25, verse 14 to 30. We're having some technical issues with my laptop, so you can pray for my laptop, but if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Matthew 25. Otherwise, you can just pay attention and I'm going to read it, or you can share a Bible with the person next to you. But just some context while you find that scripture. This parable is a portion of scripture that's found amongst other parables, and Jesus is kind of having this conversation, focusing on one topic. And he's talking about the kingdom of heaven, how he has to leave, and how we need to live our lives while we wait for him to come back. The scholars call it an eschatological discourse. I had to practice that word. But eschatology basically just means speaking about the kingdom of heaven and how Jesus leaves and then when he comes back. And the reason I'm giving us context is because the way you read a poem is different to how you read a grocery list, right? Like how I interpret a poem when I'm reading is very different to how when I get a grocery list from my mom, right? And the same with scripture. We need to know the context of reading something in because that affects how we understand what Jesus is saying. Okay, Matthew 25 says, again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. The servant who received 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from the trip and called them to give an account of how they had used their money. The servant to whom he had entrusted 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, "Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 5 more." The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." The servant who had received 2 bags of silver came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 2 more." The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling the small amount, so now I'll give you more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Then the servant with 1 bag of silver came forward and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid to lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here's your money back." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you at least deposit my money in the bank? I could have gotten some interest on it." Then he ordered, "Take the money from this servant and give it to the one with 10 bags of silver. To the one who used well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Hectic. Sorry, guys, I wish I had a more like rainbows and sunshine message. But it's hectic, right? You read that and you think, flip, okay. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. That does not sound enjoyable at all. I don't want to be that guy. But what do we see? We see a master who has to go away for a long time. He doesn't say, "Okay, I'm going to be back in 2 weeks." He just leaves, and then they must do with what they've given, and he comes back. We see that each servant is given silver according to their abilities, right? So they're all given different amounts of silver. And they are tasked with stewarding it until the master returns. I don't know about you, but I can't like picture the value of a bag of silver. Maybe your Bible says a talent, which is even more confusing because you're like, okay, so I'm giving you play guitar and I'm giving you good at greeting people. You know, like how do you picture like a talent, like the worth? So I did some research and a talent or like a bag of silver at the time was equal to 6,000 denarii. Again, that means nothing to us now, but it's equivalent to 16 to 20 years worth of wages for an average worker. Okay, so that's a lot of money. Imagine you're like a servant in the house, so you earn an average worker's amount probably. And then all of a sudden, your master comes and gives you 20 years worth of wages. And that's just the guy who got one. So it's like for the guy who got five, it's like 100 years worth of wages, just like, here we go, look after this, steward it well, I'm coming back. Like, can you imagine being those guys in the moment? You're like, like, I see like money in the movies where you see like, you know, people like whipping out cash. And I'm like, my mind can't comprehend that amount of money. Now I have to comprehend 20 years worth of wages or more. Just being like, I'm trusting you with this. I'll be like, don't. Don't. I don't want to. Don't leave it to me. I don't want to. That's crazy. So even if we wanted to use the excuse of like, oh, well, maybe the third servant was like insecure because he only got like one bag of silver and other guys got two and five, I don't think it's a valid excuse because even if it's one bag, it's still 20 years worth of wages. Like, it's still an immense treasure. I think that's the point Jesus is trying to make in this parable is that each servant was given an immense treasure, like more than they could earn in their lifetime, more than they could ever work for, to have at once like that, just be given to them. It's an immense treasure. And it makes me think of the parable, you know, of that young guy who finds a treasure in a field and he gets so stoked and then he like sells everything so he can buy the field so he can have the treasure. You know, these guys are given an immense, immense treasure. And if we look at like the differing amounts, I think it's like we've all been given certain things, right? Our personalities, our skills, strengths, our passions, our interests. We've all been created and designed in a very specific way to fulfill a specific function. So the guy with one, he had the ability to invest one, right? His master knew that. He knew him. They've been working in the house together for long. So he knew, I can trust you with one because you are able to invest one. And it doesn't mean that the guy who got five is like more worthy or special or holier. It just means that his natural ability would be able to invest five, where the other guy's natural ability would be able to invest one. So it wasn't like he got more than he could handle. Like, oh, your ability is to handle one bag, but I'm going to give you five and just see what happens. Like, his master didn't try and overwhelm him. He wasn't like, I'm going to throw you in the deep end here. He knew him. Right? He'd probably been working in the house with him quite a while. So he was like, I'm going to trust you with this. It's a lot of money to trust someone with. Like, I'm going to give you this immense treasure, and I know that you can invest this, and I can trust you with it. So when I come back, I can hear what you've done with it. When I look at that word ability, we see it says, like, okay, each of them were given according to their ability. It means potential for functioning in some way. Okay, so the ability is potential for functioning, meaning they have to fulfill a function. And God, through the Holy Spirit, blesses and equips us with each of these things and watches to see what we'll do with them. Another thing I noticed is that these three servants were in the master's house. So it's not like a case of there was two servants in the house, and then the guy went and found someone else he didn't know and didn't know him, and he was like, hey, I'm going to trust you with this and just see what happens. So for us, if we are all in God's house, and if we're professing, like, I believe in Jesus, we've been entrusted with a treasure. So we can't say, oh, but I didn't know. Because this guy, he knew the master. He was in the house. So he knew that he had been given this thing to steward well. And how sad would it be if we like that guy? We're like, we're in the house, which means one day we're going to have to give an account. And I don't want to be the one that's like, you wicked and lazy servant. Ooh. Imagine you think like, you know, I've been in church every Sunday and I go to belong group most weeks. And, you know, I read my Bible verse of the day and stuff. And you're like, you're coasting. Like, you're here, but you're not like here, you know. And then you get there thinking like, no, but I'm saved. I made it. Like, I made it. And then God's like, you wicked and lazy servant. we're expecting like, you know, a celebration. And I want to be like the first two that like stewards it well and understands what's been asked of me. So I get there and I can be confident. I'll be like, you gave me five, here's five more. Like, let's celebrate. Because they came with confidence. They weren't like, they were like, Master, you gave me five to invest. I gained five more. Here it is. Like, here's everything I've done with it. And he says the master was filled with praise, meaning he was excited by what the servant had done. And he could celebrate him and trust him with even more. So there's a few things that I note here in the scripture of things that happened that allowed them to be good stewards versus things that happened that, like, why they weren't good stewards. And the first one was a shift of focus. When we come to know Jesus, like, we are raised from dead to life, right? We are brought into the house, adopted into the family. So the first focus is that. Like, we are made aware that we're in the house. The second one is that Jesus is coming back, right? He's left us with something, and he's coming back. And we need to live with expectation that he's coming back. And I think sometimes we forget that. We get so caught up in life and just getting through the day-to-day busyness and focusing on things around us that we forget, hey, Jesus is actually returning. Like, he didn't just die and now he's resurrected and he left, but he's coming back. And if Paul was writing over 2,000 years ago saying, you know, the time is coming soon where he'll return, how much sooner is the time now from then that Jesus is going to come back? It should be the filter we live our lives through. And we should wait actively in expectation. The second is a shift of self-focus onto kingdom focus. You see, when we're living dead, all we have is ourselves to rely on. But when we're made awake and we are made aware of God and we come to saving grace, we become aware of this whole kingdom, of the kingdom of heaven. And our focus has to shift from doing our own thing, worrying about ourselves and our day-to-day needs, to focusing on God. We see the third servant just try to preserve the treasure given to him, right? Out of fear of who he thought the master was, he didn't explore the treasure he was given, and he was afraid to take a chance. He hid it. The master was gone for years. For all the time, he just hid it. He didn't do anything with it. The fear of failing, of not getting approval of the master, of shame, motivates and controls his actions. So he takes his immense treasure, more wealth than he'll ever see in his lifetime, in one space, and he just digs a hole in the ground and hides it, right? And how often do we allow fear, our fear of being rejected, fear of getting it wrong, fear of making a mistake, fear of losing a treasure, to motivate us just to hide what God's given us and to protect it instead of sharing it? Essentially, this is what we would be saying if we lived like this third servant. God, here is your gospel, your project to the reign of God, your message of love for those who suffer. We have kept it faithfully. We haven't used it to transform our lives or to introduce your kingdom into the world. We didn't want to take a chance, but here it is, undamaged. How that must break the heart of the Father. Here it is, undamaged. We haven't done anything with it. We just protected it. You know, we made sure no one stole from it. We made sure it wasn't polluted or any way. We just protected it, and here it is for you, undamaged. In order for us to be a good steward, we need to keep our minds and our hearts focused on the right things. Are we actively working and investing the immense treasure God has entrusted us with? If we have to think about it, like, what is that treasure? Right? We're not saying God's going to come to us and he's going to drop five bags of silver on your doorstep and, okay, now go bless the kingdom. You know, like, that's a bad interpretation of the scripture. But the Bible constantly talks about the mystery of the kingdom of heaven and the true riches of the kingdom of heaven. And that's Jesus, right? We've been entrusted and made awake to who Jesus is, the role he plays, and we've been entrusted with his gospel. Right? If you think about how we were singing today, when the ark comes back to the city, then we'll dance like David. But the ark, we didn't have to wait for a box holding God's presence to come through the streets of Jabez. When Jesus died, the veil tore, meaning his presence was let loose. So we can experience him here, we can experience him on the beach, in the water, in our homes, in our beds. We can experience him wherever he is. And I think that is the immense treasure, that we get to be carriers of the presence of God. We have the Holy Spirit within us. Our bodies are literally temples of the Holy Spirit, meaning that wherever we go, we take the treasure of His presence with us. So we can choose either to share it, to invest it, to work it, or we can choose to hide it, right? The second thing I see is that we need to know the master. There's a confidence with the first two servants, right? They understand the master gave them something, and they went straight to work. They weren't like, well, at least the scripture doesn't tell us that. And when they came back, they were confident. They came up to him, they told him what they'd done, and they gave it back. But we see a fear that's in the third servant. And we don't know why he has a different perspective or what happened or why he sees the master this way. But we see there's a fear in him. We are so quick to allow other people to shape and inform our perspective of who God is, right? All you have to do is talk to someone who's been hurt by the church. Why don't you believe in a God anymore? Why don't you come to church? Oh, you know, people in, like, the church hurt me. I would find it very difficult if an entire body of Christ could hurt one person. It's usually something happened where one person in the church hurt them, or there was an abuse in leadership, or something happened, right? But that's not God, right? That's a broken person who's desperately seeking God, who's still working out their salvation, trying to become more like Jesus, and they bled on you, and they hurt you. But we can't allow people in our lives to shape our idea of God. We have to allow the Word of God, because that's His self-definition, to explain who He is. And I think for so long, we walk around with this idea of God that's not true. And I think this is what happened with this guy. He had this perspective of who the master was. It says in the scripture, the master said, even if I was, if you thought I was this man that reaped where I didn't sow, right, that took crops and harvest from people that didn't owe it to me, then even if I was that man, out of your fear, you should have at least invested in the bank, right? So it's saying, even if we are afraid of the Lord, even our fear should drive us to take care of this treasure. But we can't serve someone, we can't love someone, and we can't trust someone that we're afraid of. So what in us is showing us, like, man, my idea of who God is not accurate? I remember a time where I was in, like, a pit. Has anyone ever been in a pit before? We were like, man, that was dark. And I think I was like 20, turning 21, which is really young to be in such a space, whatever. It's okay. And I'd come out of a really bad relationship, and my grandpa had just died, and I was just like, it was my first, like, family member that had passed away. First, like, real relationship, oh, my eyes burning, that ended. And I was just, like, in a state of grief. And I was so hurt. And I remember there was a moment where I was, like, ugly crying in worship. And, like, I'm not a pretty crier. Like, now my eyes are watering, but whatever. But, like, I am not a pretty crier at all. Like, I cry ugly. And I remember I was on my face in Edge Church, Edge Me, Joe will remember this. And, like, this carpet, right? And I opened my eyes, and there's literally snot coming out my nose. And I was like, oh, my word. I was, like, ugly crying. And then I had to go and serve pancakes to raise money for youth camp. I came outside, and this guy, Kyle, was like, are you okay? And I was like, And then this other guy's like, you know when the Holy Spirit wrecks you, He wrecks you. And I was like, amen. But in that moment where I was just weeping before God, my life coordinator came to me, and she said, Jordan, if you had to explain to me what you see when you see God right now, what do you see? And I realized I had this picture of, like, this overbearing presence scolding me, like pointing a finger at me, screaming, like red in the face. And she was like, that's not who God is. Like, who told you God would ever do that to you? And I realized I had to go in a process of allowing God to define Himself for me, because I had to let my relationships, things around me, determine who God was, instead of allowing God to show me who God was. But do we see how important it is to know the master? Because his fear of who he thought the master was drove him to live his life in a way that didn't honor the master, right? The other two saw him as a good master. They were like, wow, okay, he's trusting me with something. I'm going to work it. I'm going to steward it well. And we saw his response was, it's filled with praise. Well done, good and faithful servant. I've trusted you with the least. I can trust you with more, right? But the guy who didn't know him as well, or maybe had a wrong perspective of who he was, he allowed fear and his wrong interpretation of who the master was to affect how he lived his life, and eventually affect his eternity, right? He was thrown into utter darkness with weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't want to be the person that I've allowed people to define who God is, and now I get to eternity and I think I've made it, but actually I've never known God. I've just known a perspective of Him. One thing I have noticed this year is when I'm living with God at the center. Like, if you picture your mind and your life, and God's, like, on a big chair, you know? Who has ever seen that movie? It's a bit of a scary movie. Don't watch it. But it's, like, the personalities, like, split. It's, like, split personalities, and whoever's, like, on the seat in the light is who you see, you know? And I think sometimes we kind of put ourselves in the seat, and we're, like, I'm going to live my life. I'm going to do what I need to do. I'm going to focus on me, you know? Or we can put God on the seat. And we say, okay, God, you in the driver's seat. Where are we going? What are we doing? I'm going with you. And if you're not there, I'm not going to be there, you know? And when I'm living like that, I notice that naturally I begin to steward things in my life better. I'm eating healthy. I'm exercising. I'm stewarding my money better. I'm tithing. I'm doing better in my friendships and relationships because I'm investing in them. I'm not just thinking about what I need, but what they need. Naturally, I'm a better steward when I'm living in right standing with God. But we can't live in right standing with someone that we don't know and we're afraid of, right? We can't follow someone that we're fearful of. So we cannot be a good steward if we're living in fear. And we cannot be a good steward if we do not know the master. The third thing I notice is that we need to understand the assignment, right? In the response of the first two, they said, Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest. So they already knew, okay, he gave it to me to invest it. That was the assignment. And I've earned 5 more. The same with the second guy. Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest. And I've earned 2 more. These two understood what they were to do with the treasure that was entrusted to them. 1 Peter 4, verse 7 to 10 says, The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. We are to be faithful stewards of God's grace. What an immense treasure to be trusted with, the grace of God. In Romans 10, from verse 14, it says, But how can people call for help if they don't know who to trust? And how can they know who to trust if they haven't heard of the one who can be trusted? And how can they hear if nobody tells them? And how is anyone going to tell them unless someone is sent? And I hate to break it to you, but each and every one of us has been sent. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20 says, Then Jesus came to them and said, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always, to the very end of the age. This is the assignment, right? Doesn't matter what your personality type is like. Doesn't matter whether you naturally like people or not. Doesn't matter if you're naturally good at speaking to people or not, or doing life with people. This is the assignment we've been given, okay? We have been entrusted with an immense treasure. And we have been given everything we need to steward that well. For those of us who know Jesus, who have been saved by grace, and who have been entrusted with this treasure and are living in the kingdom of heaven, unfortunately, there is no excuse. And unfortunately, there is a consequence. We can find excuse after excuse of why we can't do it. But when the master gave the one talent to the servant, he knew that he had the ability to steward that one talent, meaning he knew him well enough to know that he has everything within him to be able to do this. I think sometimes we have less faith in ourselves than God has faith in us. If you've been given personality and skills and strengths, and you've been placed in a workspace, and you've been given the treasure of the gospel, and you've been given the task of stewarding the grace of God, then we have no excuse, because God knew exactly what he's put in us to fulfill the function he needs us to fulfill in his kingdom. So if we aren't fulfilling our function, then there's something missing, right? The wheels aren't turning. It's the same if the Bible speaks about how the body of Christ is like a literal body. Some of us are eyes, some of us are ears, some of us are noses, but how can an eye want to be a toe? And how can a tongue want to be a belly button? You know, we often try and, oh, but that looks more glamorous and I want to be doing that, like me shifting from hockey to soccer or whatever. But we've been given everything we need to fulfill our function. And it's not saying it's going to be easy, right? Anyone who's run a race, you'll ask Jade, running is tough. But everything in his body is fulfilling its function to be able to run the race. And same with us. We have a role to play in the kingdom of heaven. And it's not for us to be like, oh, well, I want to do this because that looks cool. It's no, okay, God's given me these giftings to be able to do this. And maybe it's tough. Maybe it's uncomfortable. Maybe I'm going to get rejected every now and then. But this is the task that's been given to me. And the fear of rejection cannot be greater than my love for people, right? We often like, put it in perspective, right? I saw this guy, he has a podcast, he doesn't believe in God. And he was saying how this guy tried to evangelize to him. And the other guy on the podcast was like, bro, wasn't that so annoying? He was like, no, actually, like, I commend him for it. He asked, like, why? He's like, well, if he believes in a God and a heaven and a hell, and he knows that I don't, and so I'm going to hell, how much would he have to hate me to not share that with me? And we allow our fear of being rejected to interfere with someone's eternity. Like, when we put that into perspective, getting rejected versus planting a seed that we'll see someone in heaven one day, I think the fear kind of doesn't really count much. And we have to live with that perspective. And that's why shifting our focus on Jesus is coming back in the kingdom of heaven is so important. Because when we live with those filters over our eyes, we can recognize, okay, I'm a little bit afraid right now. I'm feeling a little bit awkward. But this person's eternity is more important than how I'm feeling right now. So I can step out because God's given me everything I need to be able to do this. And stepping out isn't just sharing the gospel. I feel like sometimes we stop at that, right? We're like, oh, but I ask them if they know Jesus and I share Jesus with them. That's amazing. Yes, we're planting seeds, but Jesus says to go out and make disciples, meaning not only just share him with them, but to baptize them and to teach them how to walk in obedience. So we often have people who are like, you know, we're on fire and we're going to evangelize and we're going to share Jesus with people. But the call is not just to evangelize. The call is to make disciples, right? So if I now share the gospel with Amber, I am now responsible for helping her walk a journey closer to Jesus and live in obedience. I can't be like coming to a church, here, I evangelize this person, now you take care of them. No, it's your responsibility, and that's a tough part because sharing a word might be awkward, but that's easy, right? Sharing God is uncomfortable at times, but that's easy. Walking a journey with people, that's what costs us. That's what's difficult, and we have to be prepared. Anyone who's in finance or in business knows that investing is risky, and sometimes it costs you something, right? You can probably speak to Patrick about that. I know nothing about that. But I know that investing can be risky. And if God's entrusted us with something to invest into, that means to pour into, to work at, and to share with people, then how can we not take the risk? How can we not take the risk of being rejected? How can we not take the risk of being uncomfortable or people labeling us a certain way or losing a friend or two? Because the call is so much bigger. And it's our eternity, it's not just theirs that are on the line. We can be like that third servant and take the things that God's given us and hide it, and we can keep it for ourselves, and we know where it is, and it's protected. Or we can be like the first two, and we can invest it, and we can share it, and we can take the risk. But I'd rather take the risk and hear God say to me, well done, good and faithful servant. Let's go and celebrate. I've trusted you with little. Now I can trust you with much. Than to live a safe life that's comfortable and get to heaven one day and for God to say, you wicked and lazy servant. You did nothing with what I gave you. I don't want to be the one that gives the gospel back to God saying, here it is, undamaged. Thank you for sharing it with me. I want to have worked it. I want to have, you know, a bit of dirt marks on it. I want it to be a bit messy, and not messy in terms of changing the gospel. Messy in that I've lived it. Messy in that, you know, my feet are a little bit dirty, you know. We often allow the things around us to shape what God's called us to. But if God's saying, hey, above all else, before I've called you to be in this ministry or to speak to this person and be on this stage, I've called you to go and make disciples. And if we are in a season of asking God to show us what's next, then we need to make sure we're stewarding what he's given us now well. If I can't evangelize and share gospel with people in the mall, on the beach, how can I stand on a platform and preach? My old pastor, Pastor Pedro, I'd often bump into him in the mall, and he would literally just wander around And he was this old man, and he's so full of wisdom, and he's an amazing pastor. And he would just wander around, like, Canal Walk Shopping Center. And I bumped into one day, he's like, I know Pastor Bobby sent me to come and get carrots, but, you know, if I don't evangelize and share the gospel here, I have no right to be on the platform. And it just stuck with me. Because I was like, that's so true. We all desire to be seen in what we're doing with God. But actually, God doesn't ask us to be seen. He asks us to do the work, right? He asks us to, hey, if no one ever sees you loving people, will you still love people? If no one ever says, hey, good job serving today at church. Thank you for making sure the bathrooms are clean and there's toilet paper in the toilets. If no one ever says that to you, will you still do it week after week? Because we're not living for the approval of man, right? We're living for, well done, my good and faithful servant. And that's our perspective. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're like, well, I didn't realize I actually had something to use, right? Maybe we've been told that, like, oh, but your personality type, you can't do that. Like, what the heck? Maybe you've allowed the lies of the enemy to creep in and it stopped you from living in obedience to the call God's put on your life. But it says to those who use well what they are given, meaning you have been given something to use. But it's our decision whether we use it well or not, whether we steward it well or not. And that's a promise from God. Even more will be given and they will live in abundance. But another promise is, if you don't use it well, it'll be taken away from you and you'll be thrown into darkness. And I think even just the fear of that and the reality of that needs to shift us outside of our comfort zone, needs to shift us into a place of, okay, I'm not just living for myself. I'm living for the kingdom of heaven. I'm living for, well done, my good and faithful servant. I'm living in expectation that Jesus is coming back. And I want us to take a moment because I know this can be a weighty message to hear. But I think we all need to take a moment just to reflect of where we're at. I know this week I had to do a big heart check of where am I at in this? Am I being a good steward of everything God's given me? If I'm supposed to do everything unto the Lord, what are the parts of my life am I honoring him? What parts am I not honoring him in? I want us to reflect. I think for some of us, maybe we need to repent. Maybe we've been living in the lies of the enemy thinking we have nothing to offer. Maybe we've known we have a treasure, but we've been afraid and we've hidden it for years. Maybe we've been too scared to step out in fear of being rejected, that we've never shared God with someone. Maybe we've used the excuse of, well, I just don't know how. If that's you this morning and you're just feeling in your heart like, man, I need to repent. And repent isn't a bad thing. Repent is a, God, forgive me and I'm changing. It's a turning in direction. Father God, we just repent. We repent where we haven't been faithful stewards of what you've entrusted us with. We thank you that you would trust us enough to give us this immense treasure that not only changes our lives, but can change the lives of the people around us, can change the lives of our community, Lord. We ask, Holy Spirit, right now that you would create a burden in our hearts to be good and faithful stewards of what you've given us. Would you show us the things you've placed in us to use to further your kingdom? Father, we have this longing in our heart to be good stewards, to hear one day, well done, my good and faithful servant. So, Father, we repent. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you would show us this week how we can change things in our lives to be good stewards. Where there's a misconception of who you are, God, would you come and reveal yourself to us afresh? Where there's fear, would you bring peace? Where there's a lacking in understanding of the assignment, would you bring a fresh revelation of what you've called us to and what that looks like for our lives and in our context? We thank you for your forgiveness, Lord, and we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're going to guide us this week. Amen. It's just a second call I want to make. Maybe you're saying, hey, I just haven't really been doing this actively. Like every now and then when I feel an impression of the heart to do something or to share something, I do it, maybe sometimes reluctantly. But you're saying, hey, like I want to commit to being a good steward. I want to say, God, I'm going to be like that first and second servant. I'm going to invest what you've given me. I'm going to be aware of the immense treasure the immense treasure that you've trusted me with. So I ask you to close your eyes again. And if that's you, you're saying, hey, I just want to make a fresh commitment to being a good steward. I want to be able to be trusted with this immense treasure. I want to steward it well. I want to make an impact in the kingdom and in my community. Would you just raise your hand? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, God, we thank you that this will move beyond just raising my hand and making a commitment, but we would shift our lives to live with the focus of you're coming back and we're waiting expectantly and we're investing what you've given us, God. We thank you for the gift of your gospel and we thank you that you've given us everything we need to be able to share it with people, God. Would you give us fresh vision of what it looks like to share you in our workspace, to honor you in our workspace, God, to honor you in our families, to honor you in our neighborhoods. God, would you show us how we can love people well, how we can bring people closer to you, and how we can fulfill the commission you've given us to go out and make disciples, baptizing people in the name of Jesus and teaching them how to live in obedience, God. Would you show us how to be disciples that make disciples? And would you show us how to be good stewards? Amen. If you're feeling like you just need someone to pray with you, there's going to be a few people in the front and in the connect corner after service. And we would really love to pray with you and just connect with you about what God's saying and putting in your heart. Amen? Amen.